Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City, and I'd like to welcome you. Today is going to be another empowering hour. We're going to explore the latest on health and healing and how to slow down the aging process, prevent disease. Then we're going to hear from Philip Woolham, a very strong talk about why we should respect all life, including the sentient being of the animal. In fact, I posted a lot on animals over the last 3 or 4 days, mainly showing you how loving they are, how smart they are, how sensitive they are. But also there's one of a cow, and the cow is nearing its death, and it's being led into a kill chute, and it can see the other cows, it can hear their screams, and it begins to cry, and you see the tears coming down its cheek. That is to remind you that for you to have your animal protein, an innocent creature must suffer and die. It's just a reminder. Some will be moved by it, others won't. But when then I show all these animals, like 40 animals, all tied up together in a bag in China that are going to be boiled alive so someone can supposedly enjoy that animal meat. And imagine the terror that's in these animals. And you think, how could a culture that is so rich in tradition and history and that create skyscrapers in cities like Shanghai today or Hong Kong, how could it then eat a dog? But then we think, well, we're eating chickens. We're eating lamb. We're eating veal, torturing the veal. So his comments will be ones that you won't forget easily. Then today, I'm going to continue with the idea of having different points of view on what we can do to help those who have fallen out of the middle class, who can't support themselves. On the one hand, we're going to have a historian give you his concept of how to have a guaranteed income. And another one, who is a leading conservative voice, Ben Shapiro, we'll talk about wealth distribution. Now, you could agree or disagree with either one. I'm trying to match two different diametrically opposite views from two completely different perspectives. But then I'm going to open the phones up for you to share your comments, your thoughts. How do you believe we can help? Everyone acknowledges that we have a lot of people, about 150 million Americans, that are desperate, that are out of money. Many are out of hope. They are the largest users of drugs and alcohol, high level of suicide, and we have forgotten them as a society. So the goal is, how do we help them? There are different approaches. I'd like to hear your approach. At least you'll hear two of the leading advocates out there. And then we're going to have a millennial talk about how is it that we can hear constantly about Stormy Daniels on MSNBC and CNN, but not hear about the United States being complicit in the crimes against humanity and children and women in Yemen. She'll share her points of view. So that's what we have coming at you. And we always begin with the latest on healing. Now, this is from the Salk Institute, and it talks about a 10-hour window can override disease-causing genetic defects and nurture health. Simply stated, a scientist at the Salk Institute found that in this laboratory experiment, lacking biological clocks thought to be necessary for healthy metabolism could still be protected against obesity and metabolic diseases by having their daily access to food restricted to a 10-hour window. And this was published in the journal Cell Metabolism in the current issue. In lay language, what it means is we're eating all the time, and we're eating unhealthy all the time. We're eating too much. Now, what I mean by that is by the time you eat a big breakfast, and people are eating large breakfasts today, that's still in your stomach when you go to eat lunch. Now, we eat a big lunch, that's still in the stomach when you eat dinner, and then we really pack it in for dinner. Or we eat a breakfast and then skip lunch and overeat at dinner. So, here's the takeaway message. If we limited the time span that we ate and went longer periods without eating, that's a form of fasting, and that actually is rejuvenative. That helps us live longer. That prolongs the telomeres, the end caps of the on the chromosomes. Now, when the end caps of the chromosomes, the telomeres are long, the cell lives longer. When they're short, the cell lives shorter, and hence the organ, the brain, the heart, the eye, the lung, the liver, the kidneys, the muscle that's a part of that dies faster. So if I had an ideal way of eating, I would start off the day with a liquid breakfast. And in that liquid breakfast, I would put a high-quality, healthy fat, such as, let's say, coconut oil. Now, I'm sure you've heard that coconut oil is dangerous. There's a woman doctor up at Harvard. She's an epidemiologist. She has no background that I can find in health, nutritional sciences at all. And we looked. But she gave her opinion. And the reason why she says coconut oil is dangerous, and a lot of people picked up on that, is because it's a saturated fat. She's absolutely correct. It is a saturated fat. But so is arachidonic acid, which you find in meat. Arachidonic acid is pro-inflammatory. That's why you get very painful gout and pain in your muscles, and you ache when you eat a meat protein. But when you have the high quality of the fats that are in coconut oil, there are hundreds of studies, and I have the peer-reviewed studies. I'll actually post them later today on PRN.fm. So you'll see here all the peer-reviewed studies showing that with the nutrients, it's antiviral, coconut oil, antibacterial coconut oil. It is great for your cholesterol and blood fat lipid levels. It helps with your brain. It's one of the best things in the world for people with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. So that's what someone who, in my personal opinion, is not qualified to be making such blatant and inaccurate statements does. But every so often, every year, there's always some inane, you know, article that appears in the media, and then you track it down and you deconstruct it. So do not listen to that naysayer, because it's not based upon good science. I'll show you the good science based upon good scholarship. Later today, I'll have all those good articles laid out. In any case, so you put coconut oil, you put flaxseed oil, you put some hemp oil in there. You don't have to put a lot, like a teaspoon, but then you have a good quality amino acid. It could come from hemp, from rice, from soy, this non-genetic engineered. And that's giving your amino acids, generally around 20 to 30 grams, or about one half to one third of your daily requirement of protein in the morning. Then you have berries. All the berries you can put, the better it is. Raspberries or blackberries, pomegranate, goji berries, cherries, strawberries, you put them in. And then if you have any of your concentrates that you want to add to that to give it an extra boost, do that. Now that then becomes your breakfast. You're getting your protein, fats, carbohydrates, all good. And fibers, generally around 20 grams of fiber. You're getting about 3 servings of fruits alone, because a lot of that's juice. So that's a breakfast. That's easy to digest. In fact, it requires very little digestion. That from the time you drink it to it's actually in your blood is only going to be under, let's say, about 45 minutes. Whereas if you have bacon and eggs with toast, that's still going to be in your stomach 4 hours to 5 hours later. And that's why when people eat out at night and they're eating any animal protein, the fat in that animal protein slows down digestion, slows down peristalsis. That's that wave-like rhythmic movement that pushes food through the intestine. Fat is a great slower of the peristalsis process. So that's important. Now then for lunch, you want something very light, something like you might have a salad. Or you could have, let's say, some beans like a hummus dip. That would be good. Hummus with avocado, and then graze. Have a light amount of food until early evening. And generally, you shouldn't have a meal later in about 5 or 6 o'clock. And there you can have soup, salad, a starchy vegetable, seaweed. But again, it shouldn't be a lot. And that way you have, now let's say you finish your meal at 6. And then you're not going to eat breakfast until 7 the next morning. You've gone more than 10 hours. You want that 10-hour break. That's the key. And that will make all the difference in the world and can help keep from having obesity and diabetes and other conditions, and gives you energy also. Remember, caloric restriction, restricting the amount of total calories in the diet, is the one thing that everyone agrees in science will lengthen your lifespan. Next up, we're going to look at how an Amazonian fruit called camu, prevents obesity. And this was done at the University of Laval in Quebec. And the extract of camu, which is a fruit native to the Amazon, prevents the diabetes and prevents rising in blood sugar. And this was done at the Quebec Heart Lung Institute for Research Center and published in the peer-reviewed journal Gut. It's loaded. It contains almost 30 times more vitamin C than kiwis, 5 times more polyphenols than blackberries. Quote, we demonstrated the beneficial health effects of polyphenol-rich berries in previous studies, and that's what gave us the idea that to test the effects of camu on obesity and metabolic disease, and it worked. Just something extra to add to your diet. And I was asked, Gary, are you ever too old to benefit from the Mediterranean diet? Well, the Neuromed in Italy did a study on this. This was the Department of Epidemiology and Prevention of the Neuromed in Molise in Italy. And they published in the British Journal of Nutrition, and they analyzed 5,000 people over 65 years of age who were on the diet. And they found that, no, you're not too old. In fact, the older you are, the better the Mediterranean diet is. The more grains and beans and nuts and seeds and tubers, and they also use fish, the better it is for your health. And the University of California at Irvine, men who suffer from urological problems such as erectile dysfunction and urinary tract and bladder problems and infertile issues are more likely to suffer from sleep problems, and that can also increase depression. So, if you want to know why you're having problems with your prostate and depression, it's frequently because you're not getting a good night's sleep. And I've already gone on 100 times telling you about how to get a better night's sleep. Also, very shortly, I'm going to be going out with a group to film. In fact, those who are still interested in joining us, it's a lot of work. You either have to be able to drive an RV or help load and unload camera gear, setting up, putting it down. We're going to be filming all day, every day. Very interesting situations on the new poverty in America. And it starts about 2 weeks from now. And you can go to prnstudio@gmail.com, and tell us why you would be qualified to join us on this trip. It's going to be a fun trip. It's always interesting. We'll get to see the human dynamic, because I don't believe in that someone sitting in the nice confines of a university can really know what it's like to be a person who's suffering. You got to go out and meet that person in the environment in which they're living to get a more full understanding of that and what to do to help them. And that's what this is about. Also, we're filming on the environment too. And part of the most challenging part of doing this is when you see the kids, and there's always homeless kids, and they're helpless, and they're innocent, and your heart goes out to them. I always take a big, giant duffel bag full of things that kids can use. Healthy foods, I give the parents vitamins and proteins and clothes. So as much as we can do, in fact, one of our coordinators along the route that we're taking is looking at different places we can pick up things to give them. But you look in a kid's eyes who's homeless. He might have gone to school that day. 2.5 million kids who are homeless go to school, but they just don't have a home to go to when they get out. Well, here's the latest from Boston Medical Center. Experiencing homelessness for longer than 6 months can cause significant damage to a child's health. That's correct. So experiencing homelessness at any time during the pre- or postnatal period can negatively affect a child's health. And researchers at Children's Health Watch, based out of Boston Medical Center, found that children who experience both pre- and postnatal homelessness and those who experience homelessness for longer than 6 months were at the highest risk of negative health outcomes. And these findings published in Pediatrics illustrate the urgent need to intervene and rapidly house children and families experiencing homelessness to minimize the negative health outcomes. And we just don't understand that it's a big deal. So ask yourself this. When has either party, the Democrats or Republicans, actually put forward plans that could help the homeless, to feed 16.8 million hungry children, to house these children? Nothing's being done, nothing. And yet we find unlimited amounts of time to talk about Trump's sociopathology, his craziness, and what gets done in the interim? Nothing. That's unfortunate. From the University of Illinois comes research that they're now able to inject turmeric into cancer cells. Now, we know that there are thousands of articles in the peer-reviewed literature about how curcumin, the active ingredient in turmeric, can help with cancer. And now they have shown that curcumin is the extract from turmeric, and it's being studied on its effect on cancer and pain. So very beneficial. And I'm glad to see they're finally using it the way that gets it into the system because curcumin is not easily absorbed. I always suggest to people, when you take curcumin, take vitamin E with it. That enhances absorption. Generally 200 to 300 units of vitamin E enhances the absorption. I also suggest that you take your coenzyme Q10 at the same time that you take vitamin E. It enhances the absorption. The macai, M-A-Q-U-I berry, reduces the dangers of blood sugar spiking. This is from the university, main university in Chile, and we know that over 30 million Americans have active diabetes, and then we have about 84 million who have prediabetes or elevated blood sugar, and that leads to diabetes within generally 2 years. And normally we're told that this is not able to be treated except by drugs to deal with some of the blood sugar to stabilize it. That's not true. We can reverse elevated blood sugar, done it all the time, without drugs. And this berry helps do it. So that's very important. Write down M-A-Q-U-I. Include that in your protein shakes in the morning. Also, taking Bacopa, B-A-C-O-P-A, B-A-C-O-P-A, every day boosts your mental clarity. This is from the University of Michigan Medical School, and it's brand new, and they're looking for a powerful natural supplement that will support brain health. So you can use the Bacopa, and every day, and it's a unique group of bioactive compounds, and it benefits the body. You don't have the side effects. So it increases stress resistance. It regulates neurotransmitters in the brain, so your cognition is improved. It improves blood flow to your brain. Think of all the people with dementia, Alzheimer's, who would benefit from that. It promotes new nerve cells. That's very important. And it also, Bacopa is a powerful antioxidant, right up there with vitamin C. And Bacopa prevents inflammation. And we all need less inflammation in our bodies. And it fights depression in a big way. And it also, it helps prevent aluminum toxicity. Now think of all the people who have received, let's say, vaccines, and they have the aluminum as an adjuvant, and now they're suffering from the neurotoxic effects of aluminum. Bacopa, again, B-A-C-O-P-A, it also preserves your memory. It enhances your brain. It helps Alzheimer's patients and people with dementia and ALS, and it can help treat childhood ADHD and dyslexia. Yeah, it's a superstar, and yet the average person has never heard of it. Probably most of you are just hearing it for the first time. B-A-C-O-P-A. And finally, eating less is healthy thanks to your gut bacteria. From the University of Geneva, which is in Switzerland, a new study just published this weekend where they were able to have, with less caloric intake, as I mentioned earlier, lived longer and were healthier and leaner. Remember, the leaner you are, the healthier you're going to be, the greater your immune response, and the less challenge to your heart and circulation. And your blood sugar is going to be more normal also. So stop overeating. This was published in Cell Metabolism. So that's the latest on health and healing. We're 21 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break and come right back. Please stay with us. If you like that music, we're going to play a lot of it, a lot of music from the 70s, 80s, at an upcoming party. We're going to have a dance party. I think this is our 51st. How many of you out there remember the Red Parrot back in 1985? I just saw a clip. Someone had sent me a clip, and I hadn't watched it, and I just threw it on, and there everyone was dancing. About 5,200 people came in that night. That was over on 57th Street near the West End, West Highway. It was so much fun. All these dance parties are fun. People of all ages come, and it's free. I'm paying for the venue to celebrate all the people who listen to WBAI, our sister station, and PRN. And so if you want to join us, it's coming up in just about a week and a half or so. Our first go-round, we were full. So we got a larger venue that can accommodate more people. I didn't realize that many people would want to come, but a lot of people want to come. So put on your dance outfit and come to socialize. And when was the last time you went to a place that no drugs and no smoking, just a lot of nice people having a great time? Call 646-926-5422. 646-926-5422. If you want to come, or over the internet, you can go to prnstudio@gmail.com. And I'm looking forward to being there and dancing with everyone. We have a great time. And again, single, families, you know, old, young, doesn't matter. Everyone's invited. Also, I want to thank the people who came to support our sister station where I've been for 42 years, WBAI, on Friday night, on Saturday night, and on Sunday night. We had lots of people and some wonderful people. Gee whiz. Just in one night, every single person was doing something remarkable with their lives. A concert pianist, an opera singer, and a best-selling author, a woman who sold 3 main copies of a book on butterflies and children. She's an 87-year-age environmental activist from New Jersey, healthy and dynamic. But all the people had interesting backgrounds. They were all, including a young man who came who had a rough childhood, had made some bad decisions in his life and paid a price and was wanting to start over. And Everybody was very warm and cordial to him and welcomed him because we believe everybody should have a chance to start over. And everybody was very upbeat and positive. There was a person who was a big supporter in New York of the Obamas and Clintons, and that ended up in an interesting discussion. Thank goodness she has a good sense of humor. She's a very nice person. All the people are nice. We come to share when we can, and everybody gave a check that has been sent off to the station, and it raised enough money to pay a couple people's salary, so it made a difference. Now, I want you to hear this talk by this wonderful human being, Wolin. It goes right to the heart of what we're not doing to help stop global warming. And if you heard my program yesterday with Chris Hedges for the whole hour, it was live. We were here in our studios. And for those of you who didn't have a chance to hear Chris, I'm going to play it on our sister stations later this week. We also had Abby Martin on, Ralph Nader. So that's a heavy lineup in 1 week. But many of you didn't have a chance to hear these. And Abby, we haven't played yet, but we'll play that as well, whole hour. And all on tonight's Progressive Commentary Hour at 7 o'clock. This is going to be good. We have New York City police officers, all different ranks, not anonymous, on the record with their names and where the precincts, talking about corruption, which is endemic within the entire system and how bad it is. Now, the last time I did a show like that was with Serpico, and who's living, we spoke to him last week, he's living upstate in the woods. He's off the grid. But these are people telling us about how nothing has changed in all these years. So if some of you want to know how bad is it, it's bad to the bone. You won't want to miss this hour tonight. So anyhow, let's now hear from a wonderful mind that will hopefully motivate some of you to realize it's time to give up eating anything with a heartbeat or a face. And if you doubt me, go to my Facebook page and look at all the wonderful examples of how loving and smart and friendly and intuitive animals are. And then look at that picture of the cow trying to escape the inevitability of its death, and it knows it. And then it suddenly wakes you up. If every child saw this, they would not want to eat it. They would refuse to eat it. In fact, I think we have, I'm going to ask Jesse, I think we have a clip that we played about a year ago from a little girl who was talking about why she didn't want to eat meat. Let's see if we can find that. I think that would be also good after this. Watch in, please.
King Lear, late at night on the cliffs, asks the blind Earl of Gloucester, "How do you see the world?" And the blind man Gloucester replies, "I see it feelingly." And shouldn't we all? Animals must be off the menu because tonight they are screaming in terror in the slaughterhouses, in crates, and in cages. Vile, ignoble gulags of despair. You see, I heard the screams of my dying father as his body was ravaged by the cancer that killed him. And I realized I'd heard those screams before. In the slaughterhouse, their eyes stabbed out and their tendons slashed, on the cattle ships to the Middle East, and the dying mother wail as a harpoon explodes in her brain as she calls out to her calf. Their cries were the cries of my father. And I discovered that when we suffer as equals. And in their capacity to suffer, a dog is a pig, is a bear, is a boy. Meat today is the new asbestos, more murderous than tobacco. CO2, methane, and nitrous oxide from the livestock industry are killing our oceans with acidic, hypoxic dead zones. 90% of small fish are ground up into pellets to feed to livestock. Vegetarian cows today are the world's largest ocean predators. The oceans are dying in our time. By 2048, all our fisheries will be dead, the lungs and the arteries of the earth. Billions of bouncy little chicks are ground up alive, simply because they are male. Only 100 billion people have ever lived. 7 billion people live today. And yet we torture and kill 2 billion sentient living beings every week. 10,000 entire species are wiped out every year because of the actions of one. And we are now facing the 6th mass extinction in cosmological history. If any other organism did this, a biologist would call them a virus. It is a crime against humanity of unimaginable proportions. But happily, the world is changing. 10 years ago, Twitter was a bird sound. WWW was a stuck keyboard. Cloud was in the sky. 4G was a parking space. Google was a baby's burp. Skype was a typo. And Al-Qaeda was my plumber. Victor Hugo said, "There is nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come." Well, animal rights today is now the greatest social justice issue since the abolition of slavery. Do you know there are over 600 million vegetarians in this world, and that is bigger than the United States, England, France, Germany, Spain, Italy, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, all put together. If we were one nation, we would be bigger than the 27 nations of the European Union. Can you believe that? And despite this massive demographic footprint, we are still drowned out by the raucous hunt and shoot and killing cartels who believe that violence is the answer when it should not even be a question. Meat kills animals, kills us, and is killing our economies. Medicare has already bankrupted the United States. They will need $8 trillion invested in treasury bills just to pay the interest, and they have precisely zero. They could shut down every school, Army, Navy, Air Force, Homeland Security, Marines, CIA, and FBI, and they still will not have the money to pay their doctor bills. And our Cornell and Harvard say that the optimum amount of meat in a healthy human diet is precisely zero. Water, as you know, is the new oil. Nations will soon be going to war for it. Underground aquifers that took millions of years to fill are now running dry. It takes 50,000 liters of precious drinking water to make 1 kilo of beef. Today, 1 billion people are hungry. 20 million people will die from malnutrition. Cutting meat by only 10% will feed 100 million people. And eliminating meat will end starvation forever. If everyone ate a Western diet, we would need 2 planet Earths to feed us. We've only got one, and she is dying. Greenhouse gas emissions from livestock is 50% greater than transport, as Peter said. Cars, trains, buses, ships, lorries, the whole lot. And as I travel around the world, I see poor countries who sell their grain to the West while their own children starve in their arms, and the West feeds it to livestock so we can eat a steak? Am I the only one who sees this as a crime? Believe me, every morsel of meat we eat is slapping the tear-stained face of a hungry child. When I look into her eyes, do I remain silent? The earth can produce enough food for everyone's need, but not enough for everyone's greed. We are facing the perfect storm. If any nation had developed weapons that could wreak such havoc on the planet, we would launch a preemptive military strike and bomb it back into the Bronze Age. But it's not a rogue state, it's an industry. The good news is we don't have to bomb it. We can just stop buying it. Sir George Bush was wrong. The axis of evil does not run through Iraq, Iran, or North Korea. It runs through our dining tables. Weapons of mass destruction are our knives and forks. Our proposition is the Swiss Army knife of the future. It solves our environmental, water, human health problems, and ends cruelty forever. The Stone Age didn't end because we ran out of stones. This cruel, disgusting industry will end because we run out of excuses. Meat is like the 1 and 2 cent coins. It costs more to make than it's worth. And I come from the bush. Farmers are the ones with the most to gain. Farming won't end, it would boom. Only the product line will change. Farmers would make so much money, they won't even bother counting it, and I'd be the first to applaud them. Governments would love us. New industries would emerge and flourish. Health insurance premiums would plummet. Hospital waiting lists would disappear. Hell, we'd be so healthy, we'd have to shoot someone just to start a cemetery. So tonight I have two challenges for the opposition. Two challenges. Meat causes a wide range of cancers and heart disease. Would they name one disease caused by a vegetarian diet? And two, I'm funding the Earthlings trilogy. If the opposition is so sure of their ground, I challenge them to send a copy of the Earthlings DVD to all their colleagues and all their customers. Go on, I dare you. Animals are not just other species, they are other nations, and we murder them at our peril. The peace map is drawn on a menu. Peace is not just the absence of war, it is the presence of justice. Justice must be blind to race, color, religion, or species. If she's not blind, she will be a weapon of terror. And tonight, there is unimaginable terror in those ghastly Guantanamos we call factory farms or slaughterhouses. Believe me, if slaughterhouses had glass walls, we wouldn't be having this debate tonight. You see, I believe another world is possible. And on a quiet night...
All right, that was Philip Wollen, W-O-L-L-E-N. Philip wrote the foreword to my newest book. I haven't released it yet. It's finished. It's done. And it's a big one. It's almost 800 pages on saving the planet. So more to come on that. Now, I want to share this with you. And if you're watching this, she's really cute. So if you can go to the Facebook, Progressive Radio Network Facebook, you can watch her. Otherwise, just listen, because even if you can't see her, you can get from the intonation in her voice how impassioned she is about this issue.
I want to eat them ever again.
Oh, do you think, so what will you eat instead?
I will eat whatever there's on the table, but not chicken or meat.
Why do you think you don't want to do that?
Because they're animals and I like animals.
So what will we do if we miss eating chicken and meat?
I don't miss eating chicken and meat.
How about fish?
Fish?
Yeah.
Fish? Is it an animal?
Yeah.
I won't eat that either.
Oh my God, so what?
I won't eat animals!
Okay. So what do you want to eat? What kind of food do you want to eat?
Anything's on the table, but not animals.
Why do you feel sorry for animals?
Because they're nice, and I know that we cook them sometimes, which is not very nice, and I know we like... to eat animals that we cook, but that's not nice for them.
Yeah, do you think they suffer?
I think that they don't really like being cooked in the oven.
One of the best arguments I've heard from a young little girl. Just another topic for a moment. Finally, they're acknowledging that the killer... in that video game tournament, was on medication. They rarely say this. They always blame it just on the guns. Quote, David Katz, the gunman who killed two popular pro gamers on Madden NFL video game tournament in Florida, had a history of mental illness. The court records revealed Katz, 24, was hospitalized in psychiatric facilities twice and was also on antipsychotic and antidepressant medications. So, we have done the homework, and tomorrow I'll be posting an article that shows that over 90% of all the people who've engaged in these types of mass killings in the United States over the last 30 years have been on psychiatric meds. So the question is then, why are the psychiatric meds that show that you can have homicidal tendencies using some of these antipsychotic medications, why aren't they ever brought into the discussion? That's how much power the pharmaceutical industry has over the media. Also, the other day I had on the show Professor Guy McPherson, and afterwards we filmed him for our environmental program, and he came up from Belize for this, so we're very appreciative of that. And it was a very sobering interview. I mean, if you were in the studio when we were filming him at another part of this office, the people standing around watching the filming, they were just almost numb by what he was saying. So I'm looking forward to all the other people we're filming. And we're filming Chris Hedges also. But one of the things that he mentioned, and he mentioned it on the air, was that once the Arctic ice is gone and you have the sun penetrating right through the water, not reflecting back off the ice, it doesn't take long then to heat up the water and hence heat up the process of evaporation of that water and creating a cycle feedback loop. And he mentioned that the northern altitudes in the United States, that would be, it would certainly be Canada, and then it would also be North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, Kansas, Utah, Indiana, Illinois, and Colorado that currently grow grains and grow a lot of variety of foods that would be challenged. Now, it doesn't mean that it would stop overnight. It wouldn't. But all you have to do is change the temperature of the soil by 3 degrees or more, and now you've changed the capacity of the seed that you're putting in it to germinate. And seeds must find their life within 48 hours maximum of the time that they germinate if they're going to live. And if there's any, that's why in the springtime, if plants come up and there's suddenly a late frost, they kill them off. You have to wait a whole different cycle. So you're looking at millions of acres of land. They're getting so hot that the normal germination process is challenged. Now, this just came out today. This is MechaWatch, and I'll read this. It says, 52 million years ago, crocodiles swam in the Arctic. 20,000 years ago, an ice sheet covered Manhattan. The Earth's ecosystems have changed dramatically as the climate has shifted, and now scientists are trying to determine how they might respond to the current era of human-caused climate change. 42 scientists contributed to a study published in Science, and this was just this past Friday, that examined how land-based plants had responded to temperature changes of 4 to 7 degrees Celsius since the height of the Ice Age in order to predict how land-based ecosystems might respond to similar temperatures changes predicted for the future. They found out, listen carefully, if we do not act quickly and reduce greenhouse gas emissions, the Earth's entire terrestrial biome is 75% likely to change completely, impacting biodiversity and making life difficult for anyone whose livelihood is based upon and around an ecosystem as it exists now. Quote, having this kind of change occur at such a massive scale in such a short period of time is going to create unprecedented challenges of natural resource management. And so there they have it. So it's not just Guy McPherson. It is hundreds of scientists now realize that were you or I to go outside and it's, let's say it's 80 degrees, and then the next day it's 85, no big deal. But for a plant, that 5 degrees, could be the difference of it germinating or not. So that's what we're not looking at. And over the Middle East and Africa, it's just as bad. And we're looking at the potential between 160 to 300 million environmental refugees just from Africa alone. And everyone should stop this whole nonsense that it'll be in 2100 when everyone now is dead, probably. No, it's happening right now as we speak. Now, I'm going to save the two-part, the kind of a debating two issues. How do we help the homeless? How do we help the poor? And we have a historian who's going to talk about tomorrow. I'm going to do it. A guaranteed income. And the other one, Ben Shapiro, who is a popular person in the conservative and Republican circles, who says, no, let free market work its ways. Well, they could be both wrong or both right, in part or whole, and we'll hear that, and you'll have a chance to share tomorrow. But we're going to finish with the idea that we have all these people killed in Yemen, all these children starving to death every day in Yemen, 21 million citizens of Yemen in peril, and nothing in America about it. That's unacceptable by any standard. Here's a millennial sharing her concern.
Today, I spoke about how MSNBC on any of the shows on their network hasn't mentioned the U.S. role in the war in Yemen in over a year. FAIR.org tracked it, and that's what they found, which is insane. But MSNBC found ways to do literally hundreds of segments on Stormy Daniels. In the immortal words of Ron Weasley, they need to sort out their priorities. Because if cable news wants to prove that they aren't state media, basically, they need to start covering stories like this. The ground where the wedding tent once stood was covered with children's slippers, broken musical instruments, pieces of festive clothing, and other detritus of destroyed lives. Teeth still attached to the jawbone lay near some tattered decorations. There is even some flesh left, said Elan Yahya, the bride's father, pointing at blackened shards hanging from a tree branch. An airstrike hit the wedding in the remote mountain village on April 23rd, killing 22 civilians, including 8 children, and injuring dozens, according to interviews with 17 villagers in late May. More than 3 years into Yemen's civil war, over 16,000 civilians have been killed and injured, the vast majority by airstrikes, the UN Human Rights Office estimates, adding that the figures are likely to be far higher. The deaths are continuing unabated, with as many as hundreds of casualties per month, despite assurances by a U.S.-backed regional coalition to better protect civilians amid mounting criticism within the United States and the international community. Children's slippers in broken ash with flesh hanging from trees. That is what the United States is doing right now. But Stormy Daniels, Russia, all goddamn day, every day. This needs attention. These stories. It's stomach-churning. 16,000 civilians, conservatively estimated, have been killed in 3 years with the United States' backing. And for what? This is a proxy war between Saudi Arabia and Iran. It's a game to them about geopolitical influence, and we picked a side in this bloody, senseless conflict and rivalry based on our own arbitrary alliances with the oppressive Saudi regime. Just because it isn't U.S. troops directly murdering these children and innocent people doesn't mean we don't have massive amounts of blood on our hands. Without us, the coalition of the UAE and Saudi Arabia wouldn't be able to commit these atrocities. That coalition, led by Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, is backing Yemen's exiled government in its conflict against the rebels known as the Houthis, who dominate the capital and the north. The United States is playing an essential role in the war, supporting the coalition with intelligence, refueling, technical assistance, and billions of dollars in bombs and other weaponry. The coalition is the only actor in the conflict that uses warplanes, mostly American and British-made fighter jets. The airstrikes have struck hospitals, schools, markets, motels, migrant boats, gas stations, even funeral gatherings, raising questions about the coalition's ability to abide by humanitarian laws, you think, that calls for civilians to be safeguarded. They are using our jets, our machinery. And this isn't by accident, this is purposeful. In fact, Donald Trump and the United States Senate, our government, actually ramped up the sale of arms to Saudi Arabia so they could continue doing more of this. The growing civilian casualties across Yemen have led to widespread denouncement of the U.S. role and calls in Congress to halt or regulate American weapon sales to Saudi Arabia, a close U.S. ally in the Middle East. Despite the concern, President Trump announced $110 billion in new arms sales last year to the kingdom, weapons that most analysts expect will be used in Yemen. After the Senate narrowly approved a $510 million first installment of precision-guided munitions to Saudi Arabia last June, the kingdom said it would launch a training program to reduce accidental targeting of civilians. But in the year since that announcement, civilian deaths were 7% more than the year prior, the UN data shows. In April alone, there were 236 civilians killed and 238 injured, the deadliest month this year so far. So the U.S. government was like, oh, Saudi Arabia promised it would stop killing civilians. Great! Problem solved! We can go home! Oh, but only after we give more and more arms to the Saudis. Trump proudly announced $110 billion in arms sales to them, and the Senate gave them an additional package of money, precision-guided munitions. Newsflash, if they're not trying to target civilians, they're not very precise. But they actually aren't avoiding civilians. They're literally targeting schools, hospitals. But the U.S. government, it doesn't care. The Saudis give us oil? Okay, blank check to them to use our planes and our ammo and our hardware to kill tens of thousands of civilians. Are the civilians blonde and blue-eyed? Oh.
That's Emma Viglan speaking out, and good for her. We support what she is saying. And isn't it time we turned off Rachel Maddow and all the talking heads who are just fronts for the establishment, the liberal corporate establishment on the left and the right, and start dealing with real issues? I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you all for watching. I look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day.